Hola a todos! Welcome back to the Following Paralumen podcast series, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Tenhutko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get this show on the road. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Following Paralumen podcast series. I'm Danny, and I'm a writer and a storyteller currently based in the Philippines. And if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. Following Paralumen is a space in where I get to discuss all things that I'm passionate about, like travel, lifestyle, food, faith, and everything under the sun, really. And for today's episode, I'm actually going to be talking about being stuck in Latin America during the start of the pandemic. And I know that this is something that I've talked about in the past, but I've only ever shared my experiences, my personal struggles with it. But it's always interesting to talk about the experiences of different people who have also shared the same thing. So for this episode, I'm actually going to be joined by one of my great friends, Pius, who's actually also stuck in Latin America, like during the start of the pandemic. So, hey, Pius, how are you?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Danica, for inviting me for this podcast. So I met Danica in Mexico in a very nice hostel. And I like to think back of this time because, it was awesome.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very happy to talk about this whole situation and go through it today.
Yeah, Pius and I met at the hostel that I was volunteering at in Mexico City called Gael, yeah. But it actually closed because also of the coronavirus. And just like most of the hostels, or I don't know, that have been struggling during the pandemic. But so what were you doing in Latin America? Like, were you just traveling, or I don't know, just like soul searching? I don't know.
Soul searching.
So I was kind of soul searching, but actually I was doing my civil service for Austria, which is obligatory for male. For men in Austria to do a military service or a civil service, and what, like, you can use it as soul searching too. And I was in my civil service was in El Salvador, mm-hmm. And because it was the whole project, everything was very messy and unorganized and. Like, even for me, I don't need a lot of organization. I'm very flexible and I'll just wing it. But even for me, it was too much. It was just like, what the fuck? You have not figured out a way to do this after 15 years of doing this. And so one of those things they haven't organized was the visa. So you always had, as a civil servant, you always had to do a visa run to Mexico every 3 months. And on one of these visa runs, I met Danica. it was awesome because, like, being in this little pueblo the whole time, it was just very lame, very lonely. I mean, like, there was people, but I was the only foreigner, mm-hmm. and the only person who was able to talk in English. So mm-hmm. I was only surrounded by people from there, and the furthest travel was maybe the next city, or like they haven't even gotten to the beach in their own country. So it was kind of hard to bond with them, like connect about something, because
Spanish, right?
Yeah, I was just speaking Spanish the whole time. And also they don't listen to Frank Ocean and Travis Scott. They listen, I don't know, to some
they probably listen to Bad Bunny or something like that, you know, like reggaeton.
Some guys, but a lot of them listen to, how do you call it, like country in Latin America.
Ah, no, but that, like, I think that's something that you like, because you want to be a cowboy, so that's something that you should like.
This is no cowboy shit. This is in Germany and Austria, it's called Schlager music, and it's Schlager. It's about love and...
Well, you learn something every day. I learned about Schlager music today.
Yeah, and it's, for example, Jose is one artist. You can check him out if you want. El Triste, El Amar y El Que... Yeah, it's all love songs. They like to listen to music like this. But
well,
whatever.
Well, to be fair, like, Latin Americans are very, like, passionate people. Like, you can see it in the way that they take care of their families, or, like, in the ways that they write their books. Like, I don't know if you know, like, Gabriel Garcia Marquez of Colombia, which is one of the greatest writers who ever lived, and he was a Nobel Prize winner in literature, and he wrote the famous Cien Años de Soledad, which is like 100 Years of Solitude, and Love in the Time of Cholera. And there's Pablo Neruda, who is like one of the greatest poets from Chile. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's, like, right now a lot of artists, even though they're not like traditional Latin American music, they still talk about like love, or like spending the night with like one person. It's just like all about, I don't know, passion and desire. And it's just super interesting to see that, because like in the Philippines, it's very conservative. You don't really talk about like spending the night with like one person, or like, I don't know.
Like in culture, in music.
Yeah. No, I don't know how it is in Austria, but.
I'm thinking of this autotune rapper, like
his name from is Austria. Jan.
Yeah, and he has a whole album about like just love and stuff like this, but it's also very trashy, so I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe he has a fan here, but I mean, you didn't mention the name, so that's good.
His name is Yang Huren.
Wait, what? Yang Won? Yang
Huren, yeah, as a Huren.
Young Huren? I can't speak German. But yeah, so like, I mean, Latin America is a place that's pretty far from Asia. So I think coronavirus started spreading around like late 2019, but I think it started to go like to Latin America in early 2020. And so like, when was the first time that you've heard it, or like, what was your first impression on it?
I exactly remember it. I was in this little restaurant on the square, main square of my pueblo.
In El Salvador.
In El Salvador. Mm-hmm. In Tecoluca. Tecoluca! and I don't know, someone was reading the newspaper and they were like, oh, El Chino. and they were talking about how bad something is. And I was like, news, like there's always something bad going on, like don't get even yourself with it. It was like the really, I don't know, I just didn't think about it. I just thought, oh, well, what do I care? So and I don't know, I kind of kept staying in the news,
mm-hmm.
Kept being present in the news, and at some point, like probably in February or something like this, or January maybe. Like the first situation I talked about was in December, I think,
mm-hmm.
or January. And then at some point my mom was like, yeah, I'm gonna get a mask now. What?
What?
But this is something I only know from pictures or footage of Peking or something, where people are running around with their little face masks, and it's like in a whole different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was weird that my mom in her little Austrian village is getting a mask now. Like,
No, but like I think it also like spread in Europe quite fast. But for me, yeah. I think I was actually with Shauna when I first heard about it. I mean, most of my friends from Asia who are on Facebook have been sharing about it on social media, but I'm like, what the fuck even is that? Like, I have no idea like the coronavirus is. But then I don't know if I ever took you to that lady like near OXXO who sells like really good quesadillas.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and she was like, we were buying some quesadilla from her, and she was like, hola chica, estás enferma? I'm like, no, like, she was asking me if I was sick. and then I was like, no, like, ¿por qué? And she was like, ¿cómo tu familia? Like, no. and so I think, like, she was asking me if I was sick with the coronavirus or my family was sick of the coronavirus. But like, I mean, that was the very first encounter that I've had with that. But then a few weeks later, this was in mid-February, I think, a few people from the hostel and I went partying. But then there was one guy at the bar who was talking about coronavirus, and he was like, oh, you're from Asia, like, you must have coronavirus. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I've not been in Asia for like a year, and so how the fuck am I gonna get it? But I mean, most of the first few times that I've heard about it have been like, I don't know if that was like racism, but it was kind of funny. Like, I didn't really mind it at first because I'm like, what the fuck even is coronavirus? Is it like serious, like, should we be like threatened by it? But obviously now I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is serious.
Yeah.
But
for such a long time I just thought it's gonna be something in the news which will fade away, and I have not even heard about it, and
exactly
other people also will forget about it, but now I don't think they will ever forget about it.
No, it's like a full-blown pandemic, you know. But like,
so exciting.
And I don't know, like, I even told you about like that encounter with the airline that they didn't give me snacks. I still didn't get a refund from that, you know. So they stole like $300.
That's nasty. I mean, it was cool that you got to sit on your own, and people were like,
but they didn't give me snacks. Me and Dante. Like, it was like a 5-hour flight, but whatever, because like for me, when like the topic of like being on lockdown, of like gonna go back to the country, like, because when I left for Colombia, that wasn't really on my mind. Like, I went to Colombia around the first week of March, and then some of my friends went to Cuba. And then some of my co-volunteers were also going to Colombia like a few weeks after, because their Mexican visa was going to run out. And so we were all planning like, okay, we're going to stay in Medellin, we're going to go to Bogota, we're going to go to Santa Marta and like the Caribbean coast. But then coronavirus happened. And so, I mean, at first I was like, I don't know if I should go home, like, because maybe I could just rent an Airbnb for a month. Because like most of the people that I was living with in Colombia as well, they're like, oh, it's not going to be that bad. Like, we should just stay and stick together and go to the beach, which is like such a hippie thing to like, it's like a super hippie mentality. Like, we're going to be fine. Let's all stick together, love each other, and go to the beach. But I don't know, like, I don't know how it was for you. Like, was your first decision like to just stay in El Salvador, or where were you when that whole like shebang of like, I think you were in Guatemala though. You went to Guatemala, didn't you? Because like you changed your civil service. I follow you on Instagram, so I know everything about you. I follow everybody on Instagram. I'm like the FBI.
Yeah, no, I'm just not exactly sure. So I think in February, it looked like, okay, this is something which is spread in China, now in Europe too, like especially Italy, Austria, France. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really think about going home now, because that sounded like the stupidest idea. Mm-hmm. To go right where it's all going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because at that time, I think like Italy really exploded.
Yeah, I think it was because of the fashion week, you know?
They were like
crazy.
And bad.
But what changed your mind? Like, why did you suddenly want to go back? Or were most of your friends going back as well?
I was just minding my mission in Latin America. And because my project in El Salvador didn't go so well, I tried to switch to another project in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And I got to Guatemala in like the end of February, the middle of March. Mm-hmm. And then I was in Guatemala, and the project was awesome. And I met people from Europe there, like the other voluntarios were French, and some guy even was half Austrian and half Guatemalan.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It was perfect. Like everything that I missed in El Salvador, I had. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna stay here and doing my civil service until, I don't know, August or something. And then I'm gonna see, like, I think nobody really thought that it's gonna stick around for so long.
Yeah.
And, but then after 2 weeks in Guatemala at this project, as I'm not really following the news, also not there, I didn't realize that they in Guatemala they are already like planning shit and restrictions and stuff. So I was just calling with friends from home, and I told them, yeah, I'm gonna stay here. I had the best life. I was chilling in my hammock, playing guitar, singing and going, like, I was at this nice school and directly at the very beautiful lake surrounded by volcanoes, and
sounds like paradise.
I'm doing my civil service here, so this is like the most chill it can get. I told them, no, I'm gonna stay here and wait it all out. And like 6 hours later or something, after I said that and told everyone I'm gonna stay here, I was booking a flight back home. So because at 5 p.m. or something, I got a message from the Austrian
embassy,
and that they're like chartering the last flight from Mexico to Austria, and all foreign Austrians or Austrians abroad should try
to for free, or do you have to pay for it?
I had to pay for it.
Oh,
700 euros or something.
Still.
And and so when I read the message, I just thought like, oh, leave me. I don't want to think about it anymore. I already decided that I'm going to stay here.
Uh-huh.
But then Ernesto, which was the Austrian Guatemalan guy, he asked me before dinner if I'm gonna go back, because he is thinking about going to Austria, even though he has lived his whole life in Guatemala. Huh? So I was like, what, why, what? you're like, this flight goes in 3 days and you're thinking about leaving your whole life here behind you, like you're not able to say goodbye to so many people, and you just go to Austria and start a new life there, because his plan was to study in Austria anyway in fall, so it would just be a little bit earlier. Yeah. But and so this kind of opened my eyes that it's maybe a serious situation, I don't know. Yeah. And then I watched him talking to his mom and like sorting out if they're gonna go back to Austria, because his mom is Austrian. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but I heard that in Guatemala from tomorrow on you can't go outside after 4 p.m. or something. So I thought, okay, that's gonna be a shitty time now. The school is closed where I work, and I'm not able to go outside after work. So I just be in the school campus, and like, I don't know how long the situation lasts. So I don't want to find out by the hard way. So, mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, let's just do the next adventure, going back to Austria, and it's gonna be fun. And then I decided
to go back to Mexico first, though. Like, you have to go back to Mexico City.
Yeah. So the mom of Ernesto, mm-hmm. She was working at an NGO in Guatemala, and two Austrian girls have been working there. Mm-hmm. So they decided to go home as well. So she hooked me up with them. Mm-hmm. Is that what you say? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if that's something sexual or something. So yeah, and then I called them, hey, I'm Pius, I'm gonna go back as well, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, yeah, we're all packing. It was very, very stressful, super doomsday mode on conversation. Yeah. And like at the end, what's your name, by the way? And I'm Malin, what's your name? Okay, bye.
No, but you didn't have most of your stuff, because it was in El Salvador, no?
Yeah, for me, it wasn't too hard to pack my things, because I only had one backpack, like 40 liters.
Uh-huh. That was your carry on, like your small backpack, not like the one that you, brought your, oh yeah, it's your favorite backpack. You bring it everywhere, though.
Yeah, it's like, we could do it a little sponsorship now. It's
is it from Decathlon?
Huh?
Did you get it from Decathlon or no?
No. It's like some real shit. It's some military US buff guy redneck shit.
I love that. You should sponsor us, whoever made Pierce's bag.
I don't know how it's called. 9/11? No. 5/11.
5/11.
5/11, yeah.
Okay.
Very good backpack. So we decided to go back to Austria. We decided to, okay, we gotta find a route from Guatemala to Mexico, because that's not that easy.
No, yeah.
And then I called my brother. Mm-hmm. Like to kind of process what's going on, and I didn't want to talk to my mother, because she's like,
well, moms do that, I guess.
And so it was very chill. My brother just got back from Paris. He was doing his civil service as well. Mm-hmm. And he arrived like 1 week before that, Yeah, and I told him, yeah, I might be coming home next week.
Who knows?
Which was like, and also for me in my head, like, but from, okay, I'm going to stay here until for the next 6 months. So I'm going to be home in Schnitzelland in 5 days.
No, but yeah, that is very interesting because, like, it's the same for me. Like, when I arrived in Colombia, I was already planning on, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go do a camper van all the way through Patagonia and, like, maybe hit Argentina. And I'm like, how am I going to go home? Like, 3 weeks later, I was back in Mexico City and calling my embassy. And then I had a spot for, on the last flight of Philippine Airlines to go to Manila. But the thing was, I had to go to California. I had to fly from Mexico City to Los Angeles in California to catch the flight. And then there was like a lot of cancellations and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I got back home, which is super interesting. And like I know some people who didn't leave Mexico or like Latin America and they're still there. They're like living the nomad lifestyle that I really wanted to do. But at the same time, when I come to think of it, I do feel like I made the right decision to like go home. I don't know. I mean, I think it varies from like person to person, but like for you, do you think that it was the right decision for you to go home, or did you rather like, oh, I wish I would stay, or I don't know. Cause like it's been a year now and so many things have happened. So many things have changed.
I mean, I was on my civil service, so I always had to, like, if you're just like doing your own thing, it might be different, but because you can just go where you want to and where it's possible to go. But I had to make sure that at the end of this time, I get my check for doing my civil service. And I'm not sure if that would have happened because if I would have stayed there, because I think schools are still not open there.
No,
I'm not sure. It's like very different situation, like much, much more awful than it is in Europe. In Europe, you can't go partying, at least not in the club. But that's it. And you have to wear a mask in your nice public transport systems.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
But they're still quarantined, I think, in El Salvador. They're still only allowed to go out like twice a week to do grocery shopping. And
that's bad.
And they live in way worse conditions than we do. They live in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not gonna, that's maybe a little bit too, like,
but you get it.
They it's very hot and their houses are very small and it's hot and their roofs are from metal.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's
not the best place to spend like lockdown.
Not the best place to chill.
Exactly. But like, okay, so it's been a year later, like how are you adapting to like life at home? It's so funny though, because it doesn't feel like it's been a year, but like every day it's like super fast. But then when you come to think of it, like holy moly, it's April and I've been home for like a year now. This is like the longest time I've been in the Philippines ever since I left like 5 years ago, which is super crazy to me. But I mean, I think it's fine for me. I definitely want to travel again and I do want to explore. But what about you? Like, how are you coping with life back in Linz, Austria?
Do you refer to this question more as like, have you adapted to coronavirus, the pandemic, or to like life in Central America and life back home?
Well, both, I think. Yeah. Because I think you've been traveling for like quite a long time as well. So it must have been quite different.
Like when I came home, I was like Zen-like at peace. and watching my family and other people running around and with their busy head was very confusing. Because it's like, well, we have it so much better here. What are you all freaking out about? We have a dishwasher, we have everything so nice and comfortable and convenient. And and then after like a few weeks, I started to freak out because I thought, oh well, now I'm super zen-like, but maybe in the near future I'm gonna be as them, like them. And so I started freaking out that I might be as like them again. And of course,
it's so weird.
Yeah,
like so I have jobs and everything, which is so far from what I envisioned myself like a year ago. Like when I went home, I was like, okay, maybe I spent 3 months here and then coronavirus will go away and I'll get to travel again. But no, it's super interesting how things panned out and how coronavirus actually is a threat.
Yeah.
It's a serious concern and it's gonna probably stay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like, how is life in general right now over there, like in where you are?
Like corona wise. I think it's very different for everyone. Like like my situation is not the situation for everyone. And I see that in my work, because like I work with older people. I mean older. They're like in their 30s or 40s.
But a teenager, by the way.
I'm 22 and I'm living my best life. I live in a shared living, or how do you say it? Like I have three roommates, and so there is always people around me. There's those three roommates, but usually there's someone invited and some friends are over, and it's a pretty nice life, I think. And also now as it's getting warmer outside, we spend a lot of time like outside in parks or anything, or I'm going to the skate park and there's like 40 people, 40 like people I know, and then a whole lot of random teenagers who just get drunk outside, and that's just the normal corona picture here. But then I feel like there's a lot of people who really are living, how do you say it? Like they obey to the laws they are putting out.
Yeah.
And which is like, and I in the last couple of days, I kind of thought about this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really sure how far am I just not paranoid about this situation and I'm just living my life, and when do I start to being ignorant and like unresponsible? And I've not really answered this question yet for myself.
It's always different, I think.
It's kind of difficult to
where's the fine line, you know?
What your rights and wrong, or you know, because this one coworker, who is at risk, at special risk or whatever. Obviously she is very frustrated with the situation because she has to be careful all the time and things are not really getting better in Austria. There's still a lot of infection.
Yeah.
And she says like, if you would all just obey to the laws, we wouldn't have this problem. But then there's me and a lot of people my age, they're just like, yeah, but I don't care how long this situation goes on if we can just live at least somehow.
It's different though, but it's very interesting how other countries deal with it. Because like my country's dealing with it like total crap. But I mean, every day feels like it's normal, but it's not getting better. But I don't know. I don't really want to say that it's like the worst country that's dealing with it, because I mean, it's probably not, but at the same time, like, they can do their best, like they can do better. But it's always like interesting to listen to a lot of different people's experience when it comes to this pandemic and where were they when it hit and all that stuff. And honestly, thank you so much for agreeing to come to the podcast. I know you're very busy, but yeah, thank you for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So if other people would want to be like friends with you or would want to know more about you, because like Pius takes really great pictures, guys. If you want to follow him on Instagram, you can definitely do that. He takes a lot of cool pictures. So where can we find most of the stuff that you take?
Okay, so probably Instagram at just Pius FD. And there is a link to my like more account for pictures and stuff,
like more professional photography account.
Professional. But the other account is called Pius the Kid.
All right, but like most of our most of our social media handles will be listed down in the description box. You can follow me at dmdanhutko on all social media platforms, and my website is danikadanhutko.com. So, Pius, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.